Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Four Elements United. This is your host tonight. This is Water.
This is your boy Earth.
And this is Wynn.
And tonight, we are having a follow-up conversation on the last show, which the last show was about going back. So would you go back and live your life all over the hood? And so now that we've had that show, we came to the realization that a perfect follow-up to this would be, since you can't go back and live your life all over, now what? So we as Elements, you know, we always get into this this kind of conversation. And Earth, I'm going to kick it on over to you, man, because I know that you you really have some interest in this particular topic, man. So, okay, so As I was the yay last week of saying I would go back, and Earth and Wynn were like, no, I would not go back and live my life all over again. And so since we can't go back, Earth, now what?
Well, now what is, you stuck? That's what the now what is. No. You know, it's interesting that we're even having this conversation because, you know, when I sit down and think about it, like I thought about the show from last week. I thought about it during the week. And then I started thinking, okay, so if I can't go back, which I don't want to anyway, but just saying, since I can't go back, if I wanted to, and all I have is now, then what? And I actually answered the question. All I have is now. So there is, the only thing for you to do is to deal with your current circumstances. So let me get personal. So the only thing for me to do would be for me to deal with my current circumstances and look at my life in what did not work for me, what I didn't like, what I did like, look at the entire scope of it, and really start creating my life or designing my life in a way that it works for me. And that's just, for me, it's as simple as really saying, okay, what are my goals? And when I think about it, for me, we had a show, did we have a show about this a while ago, about accomplishing goals? I think we did, but nevertheless, you know, I would look at, like, what haven't I accomplished, or what did I accomplish and I quit on, or just like, oh, this ain't working, I've made too many mistakes, and then just move forward from there. And even if there's events that I wanted to attend and I didn't attend, or, you know, just simple things like, you know, family members that I'm not happy with, or they're not happy with me. You know, there's no sense in saying, oh, I screwed up with that and nothing can be done. There's always something that could be done, you know, to have your life work. So I'm going to put a pin right there, and I'm going to get some feedback from the Elements, and then we can move forward. What you got over there, Wynn?
Oh, man, I was waiting on you to finish, but, you know, as it pertains to me, you know, like I said last week, we just simply have the life that we have, and we have to accept that. And I think that the key to having a great life and being happy is acceptance and really being grateful for what we've endured and who we've become as a consequence of those adversities, because it's because of those adversities, those challenges, and some of the negative experiences that we expanded and grew. And so we have to be thankful for those experiences that made us who we are. Now I'll put a pin right there.
What you got?
Yeah, you know, like what Wynn was saying, man, is exactly, you know, two things come to mind for me for now what, even though I would have gone back. I know that y'all didn't like that. And I'm okay with that, too. Hopefully y'all okay with me not liking that.
Well,
but,
you know what? Just think about this. If you go back, then you may not know us. How about that?
Hey, I'm willing to shoot those dice, man. I'll come find you. Matter of fact, I'll fly my private jet right into, you know, your driveway, and you know, come pick you up and say, look, let's go, bro. Exactly. Both of you. But no, I mean, really, on a serious tip, man. Now, look. Gratitude, what I was hearing you say, when gratitude, man, is really the starting point. I know that some of us, our lives aren't to the place of where we thought they should be. You know, we're not with the person we thought we should have had, or, you know, like our finances don't look the way we thought they would look, and they should be here by now, and this should have happened, and, man, I messed up when I was here, and da 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 da. You know, it's an endless rabbit hole. And I agree with what Wynn was saying, is that gratitude just for the opportunity to wake up from all of this and just be, you know, like, to me, that's the most important thing, is just having gratitude for all the experiences. Because, you know, like you were alluding to, Earth, if it weren't for the experiences that I had, we wouldn't be on the radio show, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would have never met you guys. You guys would have never met me. So all the experiences that we've had are really just part of, that's really what life is. Life is the journey, not the perfect image of what we think that it should be and all that stuff. And so, you know, for me, I think it starts with gratitude. And then that allows me, whenever I come from a state of gratitude, that allows me to get really present in the moment. And just to be thankful for what I have right now, as well as to actually let go of the past and stop trying to project myself into this fantasy future that I'm creating of how it's going to look once I finally arrive. So for me, that's really what it is for me, man. But I like what you were saying too, Earth, about, you know, you're trying to recognize where you want to go and steer the ship for it as well, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because it's important, you know, to be clear about, you know, our successes and areas where we weren't successful. And I don't like to use the word failure, because there's no such thing as somebody failing. Just what you ever attempted just didn't work. That's just my view. But yeah, just really sitting down and taking a look at that. And so as both of you all were speaking, I was just sitting here thinking, okay, so, you know, what have I attempted that, like, hasn't worked, you know, that I would, you know, want to go and do over, or want another shot at it, not particularly with, you know, the same circumstances or the same people, but just, you know, go back and take another shot at it. And, you know, honestly, I've actually done about 80 to 85%, and actually it's probably a little higher, but just say 80 to 85% of everything that I wanted to do, I've pretty much done it. And there's about 15% of the things that I either haven't done, or I attempted them and just wasn't successful in completing them. So I was sitting there thinking about that, and I was like, wow, you know, like getting married again would be something that I would want to venture into at some point. You know, not because, oh, it just didn't work, but, you know, just because, you know, I think it's a great and beautiful institution, and unfortunately it didn't work for me. However, I've learned lessons since that point and some other things that I can apply that, you know, will possibly make a difference, you know, for me. You know, another thing that I want to do that I haven't done that's on my list is, and you all are going to think this is crazy, but I want to snowboard from the peak of a mountain and get caught in an avalanche, but I want to survive, like ride the avalanche out. Like, I think that's hot. I've actually seen it done before, and I was like, oh, that seems like it's just cool, because As some of you know, I am an adrenaline junkie. So, like, those are two things that that popped in my mind initially, that, like, one thing that I was not successful in, and the other thing, you know, I hadn't attempted yet. So let me get some feedback from the element. So we'll go ahead and hit you up over there, Water, what's like something that, unfortunately, since we know how bad you want to go back and come and pick us up in your jet, helicopter, whatever, you know, and I would actually, you know, get you a little landing pad in my backyard so you can land and pick me up. But since we know that that's not going to happen, what's something that you attempted and wasn't successful at that you would actually want to take another shot at, and something that you just haven't accomplished yet, that haven't even attempted to accomplish, that you want to take a shot at?
Oh, man. You know, I'm drawing blanks on those, but I can say that right now, getting into the actual going back would do it all over type thing. You know, I actually was saying how I would have never gotten a job. And, you know, last week I was saying, you asked me, what would I do? And I was saying, okay, well, I would have never gotten a job, and I would have just been, you know, I would have figured out some kind of business to start as like a, you know, a tween or something. Really, that's where I'm at right now. I'm like all in to that. Some people consider me to be a workaholic, and, you know, it's okay. That's fine for them to have their opinion. But for me, I'm actually doing that right now. And so for me, like, that was something that I would say that I had wanted to do for a really long time. People who, like, all my friends, they got tired of hearing me say, I'm going to start my business one day. And so I'm actually doing it now. And it's reached a point now to where I've gotten just really, you know, just all about it. It was kind of a hobby, and then it was kind of like, okay, let me actually let me start working it for real. And then now it's become like an all-out obsession. Kind of like that's really what my life is. And for those of you who actually don't have something that you do for a living that's your passion, it may seem like that someone is a workaholic, but it's kind of like what Steve Jobs said, that if it's something that you're doing that you don't love, you're going to fail. And that's just the way that it is. And so when it's something that you love, you don't even realize that you're actually working. I mean, for me, I don't even realize sometimes that I am starving to death. I look up and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to eat something like right now, because I was so consumed for the last X number of hours that I'm like, I got to put something in my stomach really quickly. So that's one of the things that I'm actually doing now. I'm not sure if that answers the question.
Partially. Yeah, so that would be one thing. That's actually half. So what's, you know, I guess the other half would be like, what's something that like you haven't even attempted yet, but it's like on your radar, but it's been there for a minute, and you just haven't struck out pursue it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so for me, that would be, like you said, that would be marriage. I mean, you know, I'm like almost hitting 40 now and never been married, no children. And so for me, I haven't started a family, nor have I ever been married before. So, yeah, definitely settling down is something, like I say settling down. I've settled down multiple times, but not like actually got married. So, starting a family is something I've never attempted before, that it's definitely on my radar. It's not something where I'm just like, oh, my God, I have to do it yesterday. Luckily for men, we don't have a clock ticking. So for me, it's not something that's like there's a time sensitive thing, but it's something that's on my radar, and it's something that is actually important for me, because, you know, I want to pass that torch along. You kind of feel that procreation thing start to hit you or whatever. So for me, that's something that I haven't attempted, that definitely is something that's on my radar, that I will be doing. It's just a matter of when.
Oh, cool.
When? How about you,
man? Yeah, I was just listening to you, and I'm drawing blanks myself, because, you know, how I feel right now is that it's just simply a matter of time before I do the things that I really want to do. I don't see them as something that's unaccomplished or unattainable. I just see them as something I'm going to do in a series of steps moving forward. There's a lot of things that I want to do. I want to travel the world. I want to, you know, go to the pyramids, in Mexico. And I really want to spend a lot of time just enjoying the earth and seeing what life has to offer all over the four corners. You know, I would love to make a lot of money and go to graduate school, you know, and all those things that, you know, I intend to do. So I'm really at a place in my life where I'm at peace with where I am and enjoying the process and taking it step by step.
So yeah, so is there anything that you attempted and, you know, it just didn't work, that you're like, oh man, I may wanna pick that up again at some point? Doesn't have to be today or tomorrow, but at some point you wanna give it another shot.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a host of failures in my life. You know, I've failed at, you know, relationships, but again, what I was saying earlier is that those failures, you know, allow you to grow and expand. And what I learned from failure is that sometimes when you think you want something, that's not really what you really wanted. And you actually learn what else is out there that's available for you. So, you know, I really embrace failure, failing. Not that I'm a failure, you know, something that's rigid, it's something that's permanent. But, you know, again, I really do embrace not necessarily having my way all the time. I'm comfortable with the unknown. I'm comfortable with what's behind door A, B, and C. So if I get the donkey, you know, I'm okay with that.
Right. So, okay. So, if for the callers, if anybody has a question or comment, as a matter of fact, you know, chime in and let us know, like, something for yourself that you have wanted to accomplish but you haven't, or something that you set out to accomplish and it just didn't work out and you just want to give it another shot. So you just press 1 on your phone and we'll get your call right away. So once again, just let us know, you know, if it's something that you've attempted that didn't work out, or something that you wanted to do, or it's on your radar screen to do and you just haven't gotten to it yet, but you know that you're going to get to it. And it's like you're really excited about getting to that. Or maybe not excited about getting to it. It's just something that's on your list. So, yeah, press 1 and let us know what those things are. So, you know, when I think about moving forward with now, because, you know, that's, like I said earlier, that's all we have is right now, and all we can do is build on the circumstances that are occurring for us right now, not building on some circumstances that don't exist, that we hope to exist in the future, or that have not, or excuse me, or that have already passed, and we're trying to build on something that's not even existing. You know, just building on what we currently have and using that as a gauge to move forward. And for me, I get much better results when I do that, as opposed to, you know, strictly looking in the future and anticipating something to happen, and then when that thing happens, then I'll move forward. Because whatever we predict, and I say for me, whatever I say, oh, as soon as X happens, then I'll make a move. A lot of times X never happens, so I'm still sitting there. And so you know, building on now your current circumstances to get you where you want to go, for me, works a lot better than waiting for something to happen and then moving forward with that. So what do y'all think about that? Like, how do you all plan, like, your next move?
Yeah, this is water. I was like that for the longest. Like I said, when it came to me actually starting my business, then I was basically the, okay, so when this happens and when that happens, there was this money target, and then the money was there, and then there was the, you know, the this. Like, I had stacked up money, man. I had stacked up a fortress of money, basically, because I was just like, I got to have X amount of money before I start. And really, that wasn't it, because once I actually stacked the money up, quit my job, and started my business, I wasn't really working. So, you know, I was kind of like, man, I got, you know, I'm good. You know, like, my bills are well paid for a long time. So it wasn't until, like, for me, so that was kind of what I did for the longest when it came to actually going out there on a limb with my business. And so that was something that I really used to actually grapple with, really was. Now, as far as the way that I plan, you know, I actually check myself for procrastination, and I make it a point that I must decide. Like, I've got to make a decision here. You have to make a decision. And if I'm wrong, then I'll have feedback and I'll have experience with it. But I think for me, I think just the basis and root of procrastination anyway is fear, like a fear of failing. And so now what I do is I just basically, I have it on my list. Okay, these are the decisions that I need to make. So I need to decide on this, I need to decide on that. And then I just actually make the decision and use the whatever, you know, the decision that kind of benefited me in the situation or the decision that didn't benefit me. I just use that as my feedback about how I'll proceed in that situation in the future. But one of the things that I try not to do is I try not to have my past experiences create more fear. That's something that, you know, I saw that was holding me back a lot in my younger days. And so now that's really what I honestly try to do, is try to prevent that those experiences that I consider to be where I made the wrong decision to not dictate my life, because I totally understand that that's going to create significant problems if I allow those to dictate my life. So, you know, that for me, those are the things when I'm thinking of making decisions, what I keep in mind. Number one, let's not live in the past. You know, hey, whatever happened, it happened, but I can't let that dictate my decisions now. Otherwise, I will live a very miserable life. And then number two is like, hey, look, a decision has to be made, so let's go ahead and make it now. What about you, Wayne?
For me, when I begin to create something or, you know, set upon a journey, I kind of reverse engineer or engineer it. And what I mean by that, I do things in a logical manner. I perform due diligence on what it actually takes to get there. So, for example, one of the things that I did, you know, when I wanted to go to business school and law school, you know, I figured out, I had to determine what it took to get to the schools that I wanted to go to, right? So, you know, one of the steps that I took was to interview, you know, graduates, alums that actually went to those schools. You know, I looked online on those institutions' websites and saw what the recent enrollment composition looked like with respect to stats on GPA, what their professional backgrounds were, what their GMAT or LSAT scores were, what their GRE scores were, you know, what institutions they went to, what were their backgrounds, what made them outstanding towards versus the a population that didn't get accepted. And then, you know, I created a roadmap to get in line with that. And, you know, so that those are things that I do. So when I, if I want to plan a trip, if I want to go to Egypt, you know, I say to myself, I might need $10,000 or something just so I can really enjoy myself. What is it going to take to get $10,000? What is it going to take to get to Egypt? What I need to call this this airline or this travel agency, and then I set everything up in place, and I just start nitpicking and checking things off, and then the next thing I know, I'm there. I don't know if that answered the question, but that's what I do when I create.
Well, you know, it's interesting listening to the approach that both of you all take, because, you know, I take the beginning of it may be very similar, but, you know, I when I want to accomplish something, you know, really I just look at my current circumstances, and I just, you know, I'll just say, well, this is what I want to do. And I look at, of course, the actions I need to take, and I don't look at the actions from beginning to end because I don't know what all those are, but I know what the beginning actions need to be. And I just take the first action. And by the time I get to the second action, like, things just start showing up for me to accomplish what I want to accomplish. And then I start creating the plan from there because I have a better picture of what steps I need to take to get from A to Z, totally. But I think we all start out the same way, but use a slightly different methodology to get to the end result. So what do y'all think?
One of the things that I would say is that, you know, I'm highly methodical and mathematical about my approach, but I do really, you know, limit size. The miraculous. I believe that, you know, if you start something that you produce good energy and you draw things to you that you wouldn't, that wasn't on that paper that actually propelled you to actually accomplish what you wanted to accomplish.
Right. What about you, Water? Oops,
whoa,
on mute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what both of you are saying, but I don't really have much to add to it. For me, like I said, I used to have a lot of kind of analysis of things that I had to do, but it really is about action. That's what I was saying. For me, it's about decisions that I need to make, so it's kind of like, okay, let's go do this. It's not necessarily about here's the plan all the way out to 4 years from now. I mean, I have kind of a vision of what I want things to look like 4 years from now. But as far as I'm more of a sandlot type. Okay, draw it in the sand. You go over here. You go over there. Okay, ready, set, go. And then just go after it instead of doing a lot of analysis about things. Because I've seen that in the past, that's pretty much paralyzed. Like, it's just created analysis paralysis. And now my decision making isn't like that anymore. It's just kind of like, all right, here's a decision, let me make it. But I'm totally aware that I'm looking for feedback in the decision. So if it was the wrong decision, just kind of like, hey, I've got that experience. Does that make sense?
Yo, yeah, absolutely. So, you know,
callers, we want to get you guys involved into the show. So anybody, as Earth said, anybody who's got any kind of feedback for the conversation that we have going on, you know, you got a comment on something that we've said so far, or you want to interject your own comment into this conversation, press one. Let us know. Or if you got a question, agree, disagree, let us know. Press 1.
Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit about, like, how I developed, you know, my methodology. I remember watching a Jim Brown biography. This was back in the 90s, and maybe even before then. But he said that one of the things that he attributes to him being such a great football player is that leading up to the game, and especially the night before, he would lay back before he went to bed. He would just lay down. Well, excuse me, before he went to sleep, he would lay down for hours and just visualize the game and just run through the game, go through the game, go through the game. Like every play, where this player is going to be, where that player is going to be, how this player is going to move, how the other player is going to move, how he's going to react. So he did that the night before the game, and he said he spent hours doing that, doing when game time came around. He said without failure, the way he visualized his game, the game going, was how it went. And he said the amazing thing was that people that he visualized being in a certain spot, they were right there. And how they moved is just how he visualized them moving, which allowed him to react in a certain way. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, because I was really young then. I don't know how old I was, but when I heard that, I was like, wow, to me, that was just amazing. Because I had never really thought about that before. And so I started doing that, like visualizing what I wanted to do. And, you know, lo and behold, it actually started happening. You know, I was just in the visualization, turned into making declarations, and I would take an action because he said, Jim Brown. I hope I didn't say James Brown the first time, but Jim Brown. He said that, you know, his action was getting on the field. And everything fell into place. So when I visualized and made my declaration, my action was taking that first step. And for him, his action was getting on the field, getting the ball in his hand. That's the action he took, and everything else fell into place. So then that's when I noticed that when I did that, you know, I was just surprised how things just, you know, started falling into place, and they just started showing up in a way that I kind of visualized them to show up. So that's how
it's funny you say that. Everybody wants to talk now. It's funny you say that, though, because I listened to this. I met this the guy who holds the world record for the 400-meter hurdles, and he basically broke the record in Barcelona in 92, right? And so I met this guy a couple of years ago, right after the last Olympics, and he said that basically the way he did it was that he was whenever they go to the Olympics, they stay in dorms basically, so they're in a dorm room. So he was in a dorm, and he said that he said he visualized his actual time that he was going to run, like he actually visualized the time. And he said that basically what ended up happening is he started writing the time on the wall. So he said that he started writing the time on the wall. He started writing it on the wall. And he said that his roommate came into the room, and his roommate said, what are you doing? And he said, well, this is the time that I'm going to actually run. And his roommate said, I think you're writing it too small. And so he started writing it bigger. And he said when he got on the track, he basically had that exact time in his mind that he was going to actually run the event in. And he said he actually got that time. Like, that was the world record time that he actually landed in. And he said that every year, every time the Olympics come up, he actually watches and he holds his breath every time to see if someone's going to actually break his record. But it's exactly the same thing that you just said. You know, the guy, he just visualized what the clocks said, and he just kept writing it over and over, and he said he just got obsessed with that time, and that's what the time he hit. Wayne, you were going to say something, though, man.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's funny that Earth slipped and said James Brown, because James Brown, as a kid, he used to visualize himself on stage singing and dancing. So he had the same process that Jim Brown had. And, you know, I told you guys I watched that movie that they came out with about a year ago. It was pretty good. I really encourage people to look at it. But the second thing is that I was actually going to go to the Olympics too, Water, because there's a doctor that actually used to work with Olympians to help them visualize outcomes so that they could actually perform at their peak. His name is Dr. Dennis Waitley, and he was actually in The Secret, and he wrote a book, and there's a CD called The Magic of Thinking Big. So I also highly encourage you guys to look up Dr. Dennis Waitley and The Magic of Thinking Big, because it also discusses that visualization process that will allow you to actually step into your vision and, you know, realize that vision by, you know, practicing that. And he, like I said, he worked with well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
No, I was just going to say that this guy helped a lot of Olympians, you know, win silver and gold medals, man. This guy is the truth. I think he's down here in Atlanta. I want to say he taught at Georgia State, too, in the psychology department.
Well, yeah, I mean, just as another resource, while we're on resources, we all three have read this, but it's called Psycho-Cybernetics. Well, I think the book is called The New Psycho. And pretty much the same thing. The book is all about visualization and how you can use visualization to actually shift your self-image so that you pretty much become and act whatever the vision is, you actually act that, which gives you what you need to actually get to there. So it's really, that's a great resource as well. That book is older because it's written by Dr. Maxwell Malt, but it's been updated, so there's an updated copy. Well, that's the newest, latest copy that's been published. But it's the same exact concept, because that guy was helping back in the 60s, he was helping like Vince Lombardi's Green Bay Packers, and, you know, the Yankees, Mickey Mantle, and all those guys. So same exact, that visualization stuff is something really, really powerful. So Earth, I'm glad you brought that up. Really glad you brought that up.
Yeah, that was a great book.
Yeah. So you know, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here. So, what do you guys say about the people who actually follow those steps and it just doesn't work? I have my ideas about that, but I want to hear what you have to say first. Water?
Well, for me, the Psycho-Cybernetics book goes into this, but it really goes into, they just don't believe it. Meaning they're not really truly visualizing it. They are actually, you know, they're sitting down or, you know, saying that they're visualizing it. They may read it aloud or something like that, but they don't actually believe it. And that's really what the Psycho-Cybernetics book goes into, because for those who haven't read it, the book is about the guy who wrote it is a former plastic surgeon. And he basically noticed that when he actually did plastic surgery on people, they would actually become a new person, meaning that they would be like the ugly duckling and he would fix facial something, deformity or something for them, and they would just become like a social butterfly. And he also noticed that for some people, it didn't happen. And so he was trying to figure out what was going on, and come to find out that he started really getting into the self-image. But I honestly think that, to answer your question, Earth, they just don't, like, their self-image has not aligned with the visualization. So they're really not visualizing is what I, like, my thing is, because you have to believe it when you're actually doing that stuff. You can't just do it and say it. Otherwise, it becomes useless. And that goes for affirmations. That goes for visualization. That goes for
writing, like I was telling you the Olympian did. It goes for all those things. If you're actually doing it but you're not believing it, then it won't, that won't be a useful exercise for you. How about you, Wynn?
I totally agree. It's just like going to hear a motivational speaker or going to a seminar to help you build wealth. I mean, some people are going to grab hold onto it and some people are not. And the key is what you alluded to is having your belief system be aligned. And if your belief system is aligned, then you're actually doing other processes to prepare yourself to firm up that alignment of that visualization, of that belief. So you just can't just sit down in the middle of your bed and, you know, picture you winning the Olympics. You know, that guy was out there practicing on the field day and night. He was visualizing. He was, you know, staying. He had solitude where he was able to study film. He studied other world-class athletes. He studied his competition. He wore the right shoes. He wore the right gear. He made certain that he ate well. So everything was perfectly aligned. There's a book called The Power of Belief that's also a very good book. But like I said, if your actions, if your inspired action is not in alignment with what you say you believe and your vision, then you actually won't actually manifest it in reality. So it has to be, it's all about congruence. It's all about consistency. It's all about alignment. Everything must be aligned.
Yep, I totally agree. And, like, I want to add one more thing to that list. Well, not like it's a long list. Only one other thing. One thing is that now, but the thing that I want to point out that's often overlooked in my.
You broke up, Earth. Still there?
Or you're on mute. One of the two.
Let's see.
We can hear you better.
Yeah, hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah. So one of the things that is that's missing that I think is overlooked a lot of times is that you have to have the skill set makes a difference also. So, for example, if you take Jim Brown and you take away his physical attributes, then would his visualizations actually come to pass? You know, you take all these other athletes and even take it out of the realm of athletics. You know, you have you know, business, you know, or even being, you know, something else in your career, like being a doctor. Doesn't matter what it is, even like being a parent. You know, having the attributes or the skill set to do that makes a difference. Like you're not, you know, you're not going to be a parent if, you know, you can't reproduce. You know, if you're sterile and or you're not able to pass whatever criteria is for an adoption. You're just not going to be a parent. You know, if I don't have the skill set to run a sub 10-second 100 meters, then it's really not going to happen. That's just my opinion. So I think, you know, having the skill set makes a huge difference in many of those arenas in which people may want to create or visualize, you know, whatever goal they want to accomplish. What do you all think about that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's, like I said, it's all about preparedness. I mean, you know, all those athletes, you know, they played in the playground and, you know, they played in various, you know, pee wee leagues, and then they got into, you know, high school, and they played in high school, and they worked hard and developed, and they played in college, worked hard and developed, and they got into the pros and worked hard and developed, and then they actually became you know, what they call true professionals. But you know, I wouldn't say that anybody has a natural. Some people have a natural gift, but I think that you can actually develop. Take Michael Jordan, for example. Michael Jordan, over, you know, the course of his life, through adversity, through, you know, rejection, through loss, you know, molded himself to be an extraordinary basketball player. I argue, you know, one of the very best basketball players ever, you know. And if you look at his body and if you look at his walk and how he played the game, you can actually see how he developed his body to developed his finesse and the way he was able to move in the prime of his life, be the very best ball player at the time that he played. You can see the progression. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, I agree with building it, but the point that I was making is actually one level before that is, you know, he had to have quickness. I mean, you're born with a certain, you know, quickness is a gift. So you're born with a certain amount of quickness, and you can build on that. However, if you take someone who doesn't have his foot speed and his quickness, then and his hand-eye coordination, then, you know, that's something that that you just can't build. Probably hand-eye coordination you could, but, you know, some of the attributes, other attributes, you're just not going to go and train and be as quick as he is, be able to do a crossover the way he did a crossover.
I don't know about
that,
Earth, man.
You kind of lost me.
Larry Bird couldn't be a monster.
Y'all don't even know what I'm saying. And you up here talking about you. You don't even know what I'm about to say.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. What Earth is really saying, he's saying that you have to be born with a certain skill set. You have to have a certain skill set in order for you to actually pair it with your visual, with your vision. And I don't agree with that, man. In sports, it matters to a certain extent. But you have people who break those rules all the time. I mean, look at Nate Robinson, man. He's like a midget. Look at Drew Brees or Russell Wilson. Both of those guys are like sub 6 foot quarterbacks in the NFL. So, you know, certain things that we actually say, and that's just sports. Like you get away from sports, I disagree with that even much more, because you don't have to have certain abilities to a leader. Like you can teach, you can mold a leader, you can, whether it be a business leader, you know, on a battlefield, whatever it is, like we're not born with much of anything except for our physical stuff. And like I just gave you, some people, they actually overcome those physical barriers when you look at sports. Those are three examples of people that I know just off the top of my head. I'm sure we could come up with an exhaustive list, you know, go to Doug Flutie and just keep going, and, you know, to all these people who were just like anomalies for what we consider to be the physical prerequisites for those particular things. But I don't think that, you know, we have to have a physical, we're not to be born with certain stuff. I mean, I get it that, yeah, if you're sterile, you can't be a parent, but at the end of the day, I don't know, man. You might visualize it, and I don't know. Someone may, you know, you may become a godparent or something, you know, where the parents die. You know, not to say that. I'm just saying that you don't know. So for you to just kind of say that just because that person's sterile, that vision won't come. I don't really agree with that, man. Like, that's just
you know
me.
What we haven't mentioned?
I'll say this real quick. You know, the people that you named, right? Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, I forgot the other two people you named, but they still have natural ability, which helps them.
they have good arms so they can throw. Height, I don't really put height as something that you have to have, you know, in sports, because there are people who break that rule all the time because they have other physical attributes which help them. Look at Muggsy Bowles. He was quick and he could shoot, but his quickness and, you know, his natural abilities helped him to propel to the NBA. So I get your point, but I'm actually going deeper than that. And I think that even within my field, I've sat there and, like, literally watched. And it's not for – and I agree there are people who break the rules, but there still has to be something there also. So you may, you know, be born with some level of desire or something that, you know, allows you to push yourself to a certain place. Like, I've actually seen – you know, if you ever sit there and watch a kid, or you ever, you know, just sit there and watch kids play on the playground, or you watch a baby, you can actually tell when that baby is really young, like, oh, well, this is something, like how they pay attention and certain things they do. And if you look at kids play on the playground, you can see, like, the person who's the leader, nobody taught him that. He automatically steps up, and there's an automatic pecking order that goes into play, period. So you see that stuff.
Yeah, I think you just hit something that you probably didn't even realize you hit. Is that just like in Think and Grow Rich, desire. If somebody has a burning desire so deep inside that they would do anything to do what it takes to get to where they wanted to go, you can't stop that person. And I don't care what
he disagrees with. He disagrees with you too, Earth. And that's what I'm saying, is like, I'm coming from that perspective too. Like, I totally, the same thing you're saying, that's what I'm saying. Like, you just articulated it very perfect. Stop somebody who has a burning desire to whatever it is. And I'm not saying someone who doesn't have legs or arms can go be a professional athlete. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying within, and if that's what you're saying, then yes, okay, I get you. But to me, what it sounds like you're saying is you're saying foot speed and, you know, hand-eye coordination, when, I mean, that those things are actually acquired skills. Yes, some people may have them what looks naturally, but they acquire them at a very young age. But those are acquired skills because you
– Dude, I didn't acquire my speed. I was a fast dude. I didn't acquire that at a young age. I mean, I didn't go out and practice and say, oh, let me get fast. Even from the time I was a little kid, I always outran pretty much everybody for as long as I can remember. So that's not something I acquired. Like, I didn't acquire foot speed. So when you do that, you take away, like, the natural abilities that people are born with and say, well, anybody can just get foot speed. That's not true. Well, everybody has foot speed. So, cause, I mean, if you can run, that's foot speed. But to be able to run, you know, at a high level, that's not something that you acquire. Now, you can build on what you have, but you're only going to maximize your potential whenever you reach that peak. So it's not like everybody is born equal. On an equal playing field for everything. Nobody is.
Yeah.
So that's the only point. That's the primary point I'm making, that there are other factors in place outside of, oh, I just want to visualize, I want to do X. I mean, you can do that all day long, but there's some skill set that, in my opinion, needs to be there. It's like, as much as I would love to be able, like I said, be able to run a sub 1,000 meters, I'm clear that's not going to happen. I was never that fast. It would have been great. I can visualize that till I'm blue in the face. I can get out and train. But the probability of me doing that is not great. If that's the case, then you would have more people out participating in whatever events they want to participate in, and being able to perform at a high level, because there are a lot of people who have this amazing burning desire, and there are people who get stopped. So you need more than just that burning desire. You need more than just creating. You know, you need more than just having that natural ability. You need all of those things combined. And then that's the perfect storm,
right,
in my opinion.
Right.
Not just creating some stuff. I just don't believe that. I get that that's how y'all feel. I respect that. But for me, I just think it's there are other factors that go in there that are sometimes overlooked, which in my opinion sometimes cause people to get discouraged. When you don't take into consideration, you know, your natural born abilities, and people bump their heads like, dang, the circumstances show up for them to succeed, but they don't. They have all the desire in the world. The circumstances show up, but what they're missing is they may not have that ability to take them to that next level or whatever that is. Because we're all not even born with the same mental thinking capacity.
Right. Exactly. Another thing that
when. Listen, get what you got to get in the next minute and a half, because we're down the last 3 minutes of the show. Then we're going to wrap it up. And honestly, I think this is a great topic for next week. But definitely get what you got to get in, man, in the next minute and a half. Go.
I was just going to say, you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't have, what they talk about in Think and Grow Rich too, is perseverance. And one of the great things about Jordan is that he couldn't win at somebody else's game, so he developed himself to have his own game. And when you play your own game, that's when you're capable of actually winning. But he had the determination to persevere. And people need that as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, so listen, this is a topic for next week. I'm calling it right now because this is a hot conversation, and I think a lot of people have, not maybe necessarily there's a dividing line, but, you know, to me, it sounds like there's a earth, and I'm putting earth, words in earth's mouth here, but earth has a viewpoint that there's certain limitations to visualization and belief and burning desire. There's certain limitations. And honestly, I think that's a great conversation for us to have next week, because that deserves, I can see how we really, you know, we can make a whole show out of that. And I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that works for me.
Sound like a show? When?
That's fine with me.
Boom, there it is. So next week, that's what we're following up this conversation with. Earth, when, you guys want to take us out in the last minute?
Yeah.
What you want to leave the listeners with?
Well, I want to leave the listeners with, you know, definitely be present to now. Like, that's one of the most important and vital things that anybody can do. And, you know, be clear about, you know, your skill set. You know, what are you strong at, and what are your limitations? And then you can actually create something that works around that. So I just want to leave them with that.
When?
You can have, do, and be what you want. Just go for it.
And this is Water saying, whatever the mind can believe, it can achieve. We will see all of you next week. Same time, same place. We hope all of you have a powerful week. And the elements are out.